ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 5, Chapter 14. Chapter 14 is entitled The Forest of Enjoyment. Today we are on text 33. So there is no vocative for the verse, so we'll directly do the word-to-word translation. Evam, in this way. Advani, on the path of sense gratification. Avarundhana, being confined. He forgets the real purpose of life. Mrityu gaja bhayat, out of fear of the elephant of death. Tamasi, in the darkness. Giri kandara praye, similar to the dark caves in the mountains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Purport. Everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So over here we are seeing in chapter 14, which is entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, we are seeing the conversation between Jadabharat and Maharaj Sahaguna continuing. So Jadabharat, like a very patient and tolerant spiritual master, is continuing to instruct Maharaj Sahaguna on the tenets of, on the processes of, and on the different aspects of devotional service. The conversation has been going on for quite some time, and this is the last chapter in this pastime. And after this chapter, a new section of the Srimad Bhagavatam will start. So in this chapter, like a spiritual master or like a sadhu, the duty of a sadhu is always to cut. A sadhu is very strong. And this definition Prabhupada brings out in the pastime of Vidura and Dhritarashtra. So when Vidura comes back after the war, to the kingdom. We know he did not participate in the war. He went away and he comes back to the kingdom after the entire war is over and after his favorite Pandavas are on the throne of Hastinapur. He comes back not to enjoy, because obviously the Pandavas were very fond of Vidura. They had lot of respect for Vidura. He was a very great devotee of the Lord. So the Pandavas would have kept him, you know, in very good comfort in his old age. But Vidura had not come for that purpose, to, you know, enjoy the glories which the Pandavas had achieved and enjoy on the comforts of life. He had actually come to deliver his brother, Dhritarashtra. And that time he comes and gives Dhritarashtra very strong instructions. Because unlike Vidura, Dhritarashtra was not a devotee of the Lord, which we know throughout the Mahabharata. But even after the war, his eyes had not opened. He was still nicely, you know, enjoying. His sons had been killed by the same people whose roti he was eating. Roti ke tukde bhi se, whose salt he was still eating, even though these people had killed his sons. So Vidura came to actually open the eyes of Dhritarashtra, and he gives him very cutting instructions on how he should actually come out of this material entanglement and the comforts of the palace that he is still wallowing in. So during that, those purports, Prabhupada says that Vidura was acting like a true sadhu. And the duty of a sadhu is to cut the knot of material attachment. Sadhus means strong words, truth spoken with strong words. So that is what Vidura was doing. He was giving the truth to Dhritarashtra. He was opening his eyes about what he has done with his life and how he is still wasting his life in his old age. And he was giving an impetus through his conversation for Dhritarashtra to leave the palace and go into the forest, which he succeeded in doing. Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, without telling anyone, in the middle of the night went away to the forest to then leave life as Vanaprastha and give up their bodies. So that is what we see. The duty of a sadhu is always to cut. And we see Jadabharat doing that with Maharaj Rahuguna. Because Maharaj Rahuguna expressed at the end of the previous chapter, because Jadabharat had given analogies to explain the truth of material world and of devotional service. And Maharaj Rahuguna had said that my understanding is very limited. I do not understand all these analogies. I'm not able to grasp the meaning, what you are trying to say. Can you please elucidate a bit more? And Jadabharat, like a compassionate spiritual master, then starts speaking this chapter, which is the forest of material enjoyment, and he starts instructing Maharaj Rahuguna. So we see some very strong instructions. Yesterday Gopagrindesh Prabhu gave a very nice class on the ill effects of lust. Like people go to great extent, he was talking how people can murder each other just for this lusty desires people have. So today we are talking about the fear of death. Somebody who has not surrendered and somebody who has not served Lord Krishna, what is it that they go through when their death is approaching? What is the fear factor they experience? So we know Jagadananda Pandit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jagadananda Pandit was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Jagadananda Pandit was none other than Satyabhama. And we know Satyabhama's mood in dealing with Lord Krishna. She used to be very angry, and she was the unsubmissive queen. Not like Rukmini, who was very submissive and docile, always wanting to please the Lord. Obviously, Satyabhama was also pleasing the Lord through this mood, but her mood was of, you know, one of being unsubmissive and angry. So that was Jagadananda Pandit. So even in this pastime of Jagadananda Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of Jagadananda Pandit. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when devotees wanted to get something done from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which they were afraid to propose, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to uphold very high principles of sannyas in his life. And when devotees wanted him to do something which, you know, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would quote, "I'm a sannyasi, I can't do it," they would actually bring Jagadananda Pandit. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of Jagadananda Pandit, he would actually succumb and he would, you know, agree to do whatever the devotees wanted him to do. But Jagadananda Pandit was a pure devotee of the Lord. So he has written a great work called on bhakti called Prema Vivarta. And in that book comes the famous verse, which is very similar to our verse for today. Krishna bahir mukhahana bhogavanchakare, nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare. We've heard this verse many times, Maya Japatiya Dhare. But that verse was written by Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vivartam. So the translation of that verse is that as soon as we forget Krishna and we want to do things for our own sense gratification, that is Maya. And as soon as we give up this process of sense gratification and do everything for Krishna, that is liberation. So as soon as we forget our relationship with Krishna, or we might remember our relationship with Krishna, but we are still, because of our conditioning, we are still engaging in sense gratification. That is nothing but Maya has japatiya dhare. Maya has actually caught hold of us and making us dance like puppets in her hands. So when the jiva decides to enjoy separately from the Lord, he gets trapped in the threefold miseries, the tapatraya. You know, Durga Mata has that trident, and the three spokes of the trident actually represent the threefold miseries or the tapatraya. She's continuously giving jivas in this world, you know, she's continuously afflicting them with these threefold miseries, which is adhyatmik, caused by one's own body and mind, adi bhautik, caused by other living entities, and adi daivik, by the higher forces, by demigods. So a jiva is continuously being subjected to all these three miseries of life. So the opening line of today's translation will probably be understood more clearly in today's pandemic situation. Because Prabhupada writes that everyone is afraid of death, and however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. Prabhupada is writing that. However strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, that person cannot do anything. So such strength, what can be a strength for a conditioned living entity? That strength can be name, fame, beauty, position, power of wealth. It does not matter. As soon as death or disease, as soon as old age and disease knock on the doors, no strength or no beauty, fame, nothing is going to help these conditioned living entities. Every jiva, the greatest fear which everybody has is the fear of death. So there is a very famous ashtakam called Vairagya Ashtakam, which is quoted by Radha Gopinath Prabhu in the famous SSR lectures, that Science of Self-Realization lectures that he's given. And it captures this particular aspect of fear very succinctly. It says, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. In wealth, there is fear of the kings or the rulers. So whenever all wealthy people, even, you know, not wealthy people, office going people, middle class people, everyone is afraid of the government and the taxes. Like as soon as you are earning, if you are in a certain tax bracket, 35 to 40% is taken away by the government. So bhoge roga bhayam, in enjoyment there is fear of disease. The wealth one will come later. So bhoge roga bhayam, in enjoyment there is fear of disease. Kule chuti bhayam. Kule chuti bhayam means in family reputation, there is the fear of failing. We see so many reputed families, but if one, you know, they say, tu mere kul ka kalank hai, in Hindi they say, you are the dark spot in my famous family. So one son is born like that who is not aligning himself with the family tradition and the culture, and you know, he becomes a wayward person, and the father or the mother might say these famous statements. We see that a lot in Bollywood movies. So, kule chuti bhaya means in family reputation, there is the fear of failing that reputation. Vitte nipalad bhayam, which I was referring to earlier. In wealth, there is the fear of the government or the rulers, the, you know, taxes which the government levies, and they take away all these things. Mane dainya bhayam. In prestige, there is the fear of humiliation. And we see, you know, for example, Donald Trump. That famous, you know, that whole fiasco which happened. How much he has completely tainted his, you know, he has completely lost his reputation by the activities he did when he finished his term, and when, you know, he actually lost the elections, but the activities he and his followers did post all that, that has really brought down his reputation completely. So, mane dainya bhayam. In prestige, there is the fear of humiliation. Bale hippu bhayam. Bale means in power, there is the fear of enemy or adversary. Because you are very strong, but somebody else has stronger than you. and they might be able to defeat you. So a person who is powerful always has this fear of his adversary. Rupe jara bhayam. A person who is beautiful, what is the greatest fear they have? There is the fear of old age. The whole cosmetic industry is based on this particular fear. It taps into this fear of old age. And not only the cosmetic industry, but even the plastic surgery industry and all these, you know, surgeries which famous personalities like to go through. We hear so much some surgery failed and, you know, they lost, somebody lost. One person lost his life in, you know, in my extended family. He was a bit obese and obviously he wanted to look good. So some liposuction, some surgery he did and it resulted in some complication and that person lost his life. But even the famous celebrities, if you see Miss World, Miss Universe, today they are young, they are looking beautiful, but their greatest fear is the old age and their rupa, their beauty being taken away. And that's why we see so many anti-wrinkle creams, skin-forming cream, this cream, baldness prevention cream for men. So there's so many things which are being tapped into for this rupe jaraya bhayam. Shastre vadi bhayam. Shastrevadi dhayam means a person who is a scriptural, who has scriptural erudition, who is a scholar in scriptures, for him vadi bhayam. There is the fear of learned opponents. Again in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in Chaitanya Leela we know the pastime of Keshav Kashmiri. He used to go and try to, you know, engage everybody in debates so that he could get a certificate from them saying that I have defeated you. But obviously such people who are on this pursuit of defeating others in the name of their own erudition always have the fear that one day they will meet someone who will defeat them. And that is what happened in this particular case. So Shastre Vadi Bhayam, Gune Khala Bhayam. Gune Khala Bhayam means in virtue there is fear of wicked vilifying person. So somebody is very in the mode of goodness, somebody has lot of good qualities because of their upbringing or because of their birth, but the material world doesn't allow. We see somebody is born in a good family, they have lots of good virtues. For example, Ajamil pastime we know in the Bhagavatam, born in a good family, had lots of good virtues, but the fear is there that wicked vilifying person, somebody will come in life who will actually take them away from their virtues and the good qualities that they have in them. Kaye Kritanad Bhayam. Kaye means body. In body there is the fear of death, the verse that we are discussing today. And that body is there for everybody in this material world. You know, beginning from Lord Brahma, who is the creator of this material world, up to the smallest bacteria and amoeba and that virus which might be there living in our nose and causing cold or cough, or everybody has the fear of death in this material world. And if you see National Geographic Channel, the whole activities of especially, you know, all the other species of life like animals and fish, aquatics, whatever, their whole activities are centered around this fear of death, defending their territory, defending themselves all the time. So the greatest conditioning that a person has once a jiva acquires a body is how to preserve this body and how not to allow it to die. So that is Kaye Kritanad Bhayam, Kritantad Bhayam, Sarvam Vastu Bhayan Vitam Bhuvi. For human beings, everything in this world is occupied with fear. That is the conclusion of this verse from Vairagya Ashtakam. Sarvam Vastu Bhayana Vitam Bhuvi. And what is the conclusion? Ninam Vairagyam Eva Bhayam. Vairagya or dispossessiveness or detachment, which is not clinging on to all these things, you know, bal, roop, not clinging on to all these things, alone bestows fearlessness. So the solution which is given by Vairagya Ashtakam is that for human beings, everything in this world is occupied with fear. Whatever qualities you have, there is the fear of losing that quality to a certain aspect in this material world. But mrinam vairagyam eva bhayam. The dispossessiveness or vairagyam or renunciation is the only thing which can bring fearlessness. You know, there is famous verse which Sridhar Swami often quotes, that there is no misery like attachment and there is no pleasure like detachment. That is what is being corroborated by Jadbharatu Maharaj Rahuguna in this section. Why is he talking about the forest of material enjoyment? Why is it called the forest? Because he is trying to open his eyes to all these facts. That in a forest, you might think you are enjoying yourself, but there is always this fear and danger of being attacked by animals, attacked by poisonous snakes. All these dangers are there in the forest. Getting lost, not getting food, so many dangers are there. So that is what we see Jadbharat doing over here, opening our eyes to the aspects of the dangers of material enjoyment. So this Vairagya Vidya is what Jadbharat is trying to teach to Maharaj Rahuguna, who had all these qualities. The qualities we discussed, he was Bal, he had lot of strength, obviously he was a king, so he had lot of prestige, power, fame, he had good virtues, Maharaj Rahuguna had good virtues. It doesn't describe about his beauty, but usually, you know, Kshatriyas are very powerfully built, they have good beauty. So he had all these things which in the verse we saw in Vairagya Ashtakam. And Jadbharat is giving him this, you know, weapon of detachment of Vairagya, that if you give up all this, you will be satisfied in life. So COVID-19 has been a great leveler, if we see, in this material world. Like currently we are caught in this pandemic. Once again, stage 4 lockdown has started in Melbourne. And lockdown is already going on in some countries, like especially India, where most of us come from. The situation is so bad that, you know, everywhere there is lockdown, and it has been a great leveler. It has opened our eyes because it does not distinguish at all between the rich and the poor. It is not, you know, not only knocking the doors of poor people. Like sometimes we see certain diseases only come because somebody is living in poverty conditions. They are not having, you know, lot of cleanliness around them or malnutrition. So certain disease actually attack those sections of society. But in terms of COVID, it has not distinguished between rich, poor, famous, not famous, beautiful, not beautiful. It has not done that distinction. Everyone is equally vulnerable in its path. What about, you know, not giving the COVID to someone? It has not even distinguished or discriminate after death. So prior to this, prior to COVID pandemic, when a wealthy man would die, like for example, speaking of Dhirubhai Ambani. So when he died, there would be such a big fanfare around his cremation. Even few years ago when Jayalalitha died, such a big fanfare around the cremation process of these famous personalities. They would arrange full sandalwood pyre for them, like, you know, special wood will be called, beautiful garlands, designer coffins. So all these, you know, all these luxuries were available prior to this pandemic. But now when we speak to our relatives in India, we come to know that everyone is in the same platform. If you have contracted COVID and because of that you have died in the hospital, your body is not even handed over to your relatives for doing funeral. So the dignity of death is lost. Like cats and dogs, people are dying, and the municipality, like, you know, we call them municipality or council, like we would call them here in Australia. The municipality goes and does the cremation. You can see from far, because, you know, in our family also we lost a few relatives, and we were hearing this from the relatives and friends also, that they could not even get possession of the body. Somebody wanted to even see the face and they just quickly opened that body bag. As soon as they are dead, because after death also the virus can spread from that body, they would just put them in a body bag and little bit they would open the bag and show the face of the person. That is how it has become. And then the municipality officers take the body in an ambulance and they just go and cremate. No relatives are allowed, nobody is allowed. And one after the other, like, you know, a factory, one after the other, you know, cremation. Some videos have also come on WhatsApp about how the cremation is happening. Like one pyre, as soon as little bit it has cooled down, clean it up, second pyre. So that is how it's happening. You don't even know the ashes which are given to you at the end, whether they are actually your relative's ashes, which you will now do, you know, all the 13 days ceremony you might do, keeping those ashes and then go and put them in the Ganga or whichever, you know, is close to your house. But that also is not sure because of this factory production type thing which is happening in crematoriums. So it has become a complete leveler. There has been no dignity left in regardless of whether someone is wealthy or poor. Similarly, when a tsunami or an earthquake strikes, same thing, it does not distinguish. For example, tomorrow, like, you know, on Beaconsfield Parade, we live so close to the beach. So the, on Beaconsfield Parade, all the houses are millions of dollars, probably billions, some houses might be, some, you know, very beautiful houses. But if a tsunami comes in that ocean, it's not going to distinguish, oh no, 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 this person has spent so much money, let me spare that house, let me go and attack those poor houses or those building, apartment buildings which aren't very expensive. It won't do that. It becomes a leveler whenever we see this adi daivik misery is coming. So therefore, Vairagya Vidya is extremely essential, because this fear of death is going to be there in this material world. As soon as we have acquired this conditioned body, it is continuously going to be there. And therefore, this Vidya is being given by Jadabharat to Maharaj Navaguna and to all of us, so that we learn from all these verses, strong verses which are being spoken, and we learn the value of detachment from all these verses. Vairagya Vidya is the only one which will bestow fearlessness on a jiva, and it need not be acquired separately from outside. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That is the beauty of devotional service. We need not separately endeavor to cultivate detachment like we see other transcendentalists have to endeavor very, you know, they have to do tapasya or yoga or whatever for millions of years just to become detached in the earlier ages. So in this age, we don't even have to acquire it from outside. The Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, second chapter, seventh verse brings it out very nicely, this aspect. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayajitaha Janayatyasu Vairagyam Yanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service, Vasudeva Bhagavati, unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. They come as byproducts. Causeless knowledge and detachment from this world come as byproducts if the senses are actively engaged. Rishikena Rishikesho Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. If the senses are actively engaged in the sense gratification of Rishikesha, or of, you know, pleasing the senses of Lord Krishna, automatically we will have detachment from this world, because there will be no time, or there will be no, the attention is not to gratify our senses. The attention is always how to gratify Krishna's senses, how to give him pleasure. So just by being in the process of Krishna consciousness, a devotee is able to cultivate this Vairagya Vidya. He need not worry and he need not fear. Fearlessness automatically comes to a devotee because he is continuously engaged in serving the Lord. So when Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukhadeva Goswami about how to become fearless, because we know Parikshit Maharaj was going to leave in 7 days. So amongst many verses, Sukadeva Goswami says, Etan nirvidyamananam ichchatam akuto bhayam yogi nam nripanirnitam harer nam anukirtanam. Ichchatam akuto bhayam. How do you become abhayam? He says that bhakti is a process that removes all doubts and it bestows fearlessness. That is the only process which bestows. He gives many, you know, verses, but this is the crux of all the verses which Sukadeva Goswami says, that bhakti is the process which will bestow fearlessness. So today is the disappearance day of one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Grace Ramananda Rai, who despite having name, fame, wealth, position and power, was completely detached from all these things, because he was an unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us discuss his life a little bit in, for the next 15-20 minutes. We'll spend some time discussing about Ramananda Rai and what we can learn from Ramananda Rai's life, and the famous conversation which happens between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the banks of Godavari River. So Ramananda Rai, a little bit about his background. 500 years ago, in the district of Puri, there is a village called Bentapur. And this Bentapur is near Brahmagiri or Alarnath. Now many of us who go to Jagannath Puri, we usually visit Alarnath, which is some 24-25 miles from Jagannath Puri. So in that particular district, there was a great devotee of the Lord called Bhavananda Rai. This Bhavananda Rai had 5 sons, and the eldest among these 5 sons was Ramananda Rai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to visit the birthplace of Ramananda Rai every year when he used to go to Alarnath to spend some time in the Alarnath temple. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Bhavananda Rai, he embraced him, recognizing him to be a great devotee. He embraced Bhavananda Rai and he told Bhavananda Rai with tears in his eyes that you are none other than King Pandu. And these five sons that you have are none other than the five Pandavas, and your wife is Queen Kunti. So that is how he embraced Bhavananda Rai. So the five sons which Bhavananda Rai had were, the eldest was Ramananda Rai. The second one was Gopinath Patnaik. We hear about Gopinath Patnaik also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was also a great devotee. The third brother was Kalanidhi. Fourth one was Sudha Nidhi. And the fifth one was Vaninath Nayaka. So these were the five sons of Bhavananda Rai, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said was non-different than Maharaj Pandu. In the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it has been described that Ramananda Rai is actually a combined incarnation of three personalities. He is none other than Arjuna. In the Pandavas, he is none other than Arjuna. And obviously we know Arjuna is also the Arjuniya Gopi in Krishna Leela. So the Arjuniya Gopi, Arjuna and Vishakha Devi, all these three have combined together, and that is the personality Ramananda Rai. Now there are some differences of opinion. Some people say that Ramananda Rai is actually Lalita Sakhi. But Bhakti Vinod, like when I was doing, when I was studying for today's class, I was preparing, there is a very nice verse which Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes in one of his writings about the life of Ramananda Rai, where he clearly enunciates that Ramananda Rai is none other than Vishakha Devi. So there are mixed opinions, but because our Acharya has said, one of our Acharyas in the Guru Parampara has said that he is Vishakha Devi, so we are calling him an incarnation of Vishakha Devi. So he was the most confidential devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the final pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, both of them were present during the final pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they used to recite beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam to pacify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling intense pangs of separation from Lord Krishna, especially before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world a few years when he was winding up his pastimes. He used to even see a little bit of a mound and he used to think it's Govardhan, and he would run towards it to embrace. Sometimes he would mistake the ocean which is there in Jagannath Puri to be Yamuna, and he would run towards the ocean, and sometimes he would just go inside, and then devotees had to go and find his body. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to, the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to live, there were three doors, iron doors which were there. But, and you know, there were devotees always around because they knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vulnerable to getting these pangs of separation, and then he might do anything because he is not in external consciousness. So they used to always keep guard, but despite that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be missing from his room, and they would sometimes find his body on the bank or the ocean, the beach, and it would be disjointed or it would be elongated. So completely he was not in external consciousness in some of his pastimes. And during that time, these two personalities, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, they were very close and intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their duty was to recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to pacify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disturbed mind and to like bring him back to external consciousness so he would not do something to himself in his ecstasy of separation from Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Ramananda Rai, he has glorified him in many verses. But one verse which he glorified him, he said that although I am a sannyasi, my mind sometimes gets perturbed when I look at a woman or I think of a woman. But Ramananda Rai is greater than me as well, because he is completely undisturbed even if he touches a woman. And this verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Pradyumna Mishra. So we'll discuss that pastime a little bit in detail. But Pradyumna Mishra goes to see Ramananda Rai, and he sees him associating with some devdasis of the Jagannath temple. And that time he gets doubts in his mind. And at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells this verse, that I am a sannyasi, but if I think of a woman, my mind can get disturbed.
But Ramanand Rai is like that stone or a rock who completely is undisturbed even if he is physically touching a woman. This is the great regard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had for Ramanand Rai. In fact, he considered Sanatan Goswami and Ramanand Rai to be non-different from each other or to be equal in terms of their renunciation. Now, Ramananda Rai was a governor of Vidyanagar, which is, that time it was called Vidyanagar in South India. He was actually a minister, governor in the during the rule of Maharaj Prataparudra. So, he was a governor, obviously he was so steeped, if you are governor, you are so steeped in material affairs. And he was a grahastha. So, he had fame, prestige, power, plus he was a grahastha. And Sanatan Goswami was in the renounced order of life, he was a Goswami. But still Chaitanya Prabhu considered both of them on the same level of renunciation. That is what was Ramananda Rai's position in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll dwell a little bit on the samvad between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Because that is, you know, very famous. It forms, I think it's there in the 8th chapter of the Madhya Leela. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives an elaborate description of this samvad. So this is a super excellent conversation for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to read, to imbibe and to absorb and to follow, because there are such beautiful instructions which come out through this conversation. He, for the whole world to see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing out the highest conception available in theism as far as Vedic literatures are concerned through the mouths of Ramananda Rai. So, a little bit of background, how this meeting came about between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, and when he was about to leave Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached him, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was planning to go in South India tour. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached him, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually requested him that when you are going to South India, please go to Vidyanagar. It is my humble request to you, my lord. Do not neglect this request of mine. Go to Vidyanagar, because there resides an exalted personality called Ramananda Rai. Although he is a government officer and he is not a Brahmin by birth. So Ramananda Rai was from a Kayastha family. And the Kayastha family in some parts of India is considered to be Shudras. They are considered to be in the Shudra caste. So he is saying, don't go by his externals that he is a government officer, plus he is not a Brahmin, he is born in a Shudra family. Don't go by all that, but please go and meet him. So he says that before I received your mercy, my lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is continuing his request, I made the mistake of not recognizing Ramananda Rai's high position. He was a great Vaishnava, he was a staunch devotee. But I mistook his transcendental ecstasies or devotional ecstasies as mere sentimentalism. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we know, was a Mayavadi before he became a devotee, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned him around. And some of the Mayavadis during that time used to consider these devotees as sentimental or emotional fools. They used to think, oh, they keep crying and they, you know, they are these emotional fools. What have they studied scriptures? Because Mayavadi means lot of scriptural studies and all that. So they used to sometimes hasya kare. You know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that even I did that. They used to laugh or deride these devotees, thinking, calling them to be sentimental fools. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is humbly accepting that I also made that mistake, because I was in the association of Mayavadis. But now that I am a Vaishnava, now that you have turned me around, I can see, I can recognize the mistake I made, and I can recognize that he was an exalted Vaishnava. So you please go and meet him, my lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this request very seriously. So after his darshan, he had darshan at Narsimha temple, and then he proceeded further down south and he came to the Godavari river, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered non-different than Yamuna. So he took his bath in the Godavari river and he sat down on the banks peacefully. Because he knew this is Vidyanagar, this is the place where Ramananda Rai comes for his daily bath, and from here he usually passes by. So he sat down peacefully, and at that time Ramananda Rai, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expecting, he came there to take his daily bath in the Godavari. And because he is a government officer, he is the governor of that province, he came with a lot of fanfare. There were a lot of people accompanying him. Brahmins were chanting some mantras and all that. And with all that he came. So once he had finished his morning ritual, he had finished his bath and all that, he saw that on the banks of the Godavari river, a little far away, this effulgent sannyasi was sitting. And Ramanand Rai was struck with wonder when he saw this sannyasi. Because he saw that the effulgence of this sannyasi was equal to the effulgence of hundreds of rising suns. His form was very strong and powerfully built. And despite the strong and powerfully built form, he had a very serene expression on his face. And his eyes were like lotus flowers, like lotus petals. His eyes were beautiful. They were big and they almost extended to his temples. So when Ramanand Rai saw this beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very enchanted and attracted to this beauty. So he came and he offered his respects. Like a rod, he fell down and he offered his Danvat respects to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up and he embraced Ramanand Rai. And as soon as both of them embraced each other, they both started manifesting Ashtasattvika bhavas. They both could not control their devotional or transcendental ecstasies. Both of them started crying. Both of their hair started standing on end. They started rolling on the ground like madmen. So they started exhibiting all these Ashtasattvika bhavas because it was the meeting of two eternal associates. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Lord Krishna in the mood of Radha Rani. So Radha Rani is uniting with her favorite Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi. So this was the embrace of these two great eternal associates, and because of that they could not contain. They lost external consciousness and they could not contain. So it was natural for them to display all these ecstasies. Now all the Brahmins who were accompanying Ramanand Rai, they were a bit bewildered when they saw this scene. They saw such ecstatic symptoms, and because they were Smartha Brahmins, who were steeped in just, Vedic studies and scholarliness, reciting of mantras and rules and regulations, they were a bit bewildered to see all these things. Because the Ramanand Rai they knew for so long was a very, very grave personality. So Ramanand Rai was very grave. He was a poet and a great scholar. They knew that. But he was very grave, very serious. They had never seen him display such ecstasies or such behavior externally. So the Brahmin started getting very very bewildered and very confused as to what is going on. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai saw that these Brahmins are getting bewildered and they might misunderstand these devotional ecstasies because they do not know that these are highest ecstasies of two eternal associates of the Lord meeting each other. So they might commit some offense. In their mind, the Brahmins might commit some offense towards these two personalities, and therefore both of them decided to withdraw their devotional ecstasies and control the feelings that they were having for each other. In fact, it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw these Brahmins, he thought in his mind that vi jatiya loka dekhi. Vi jatiya means people of different caste. Jati means caste and vi means a different caste. So vi jatiya loka dekhi, that is why we need to control our ecstasy. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking. So it is very enlightening for us to read this purport which Srila Prabhupada writes. Because these Brahmins are Smartha Brahmins. And we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in a very high class Brahmin family by birth. But still he is calling these Smartha Brahmins as Vijatiya. That people of other caste, when they see us, they will not understand our transcendental ecstasies. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport that once we take to Krishna consciousness, any previous caste considerations do not hold true. He is saying as soon as we come into the family of Krishna conscious devotees, we all become Sajatiya. And therefore, any previous background that we might have, whether we were a Shudra, we were a Vaishya, we were a Brahmin by birth, all these do not matter because we have all become Sajatiya. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Ramanand Rai as Sajatiya. Even though he was a Shudra and he considered these Smartha Brahmins who were standing there getting bewildered, he considered them as Vijatiya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very staunchly through all these behavior and through all these activities of his, he's trying to establish that caste, birth has no consideration at all for a devotee. Through the pastime of Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur was born in a Mlecha, Muslim family, but still he gave him the title of Namacharya. He gave him the highest respect. Advaita Acharya, when, you know, Advaita Acharya is also a great Brahmin by birth. When he used to do the Shraddha ceremony, the first plate has to go to the first plate of offering, like the prasad, has to go to the highest Brahmin, in that assembly of Brahmins who had come to do the Shraddha ceremony. The first plate, but Advaita Acharya used to give it to Haridas Thakur. Because he used to consider him the greatest Brahmin, the greatest Vaishnava Brahmin. So we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actions and through his eternal associates' actions, we see that the devotee family is Sajatiya. Anybody who is not in the devotee family, they are actually Vijatiya. Then it doesn't matter if they have born in a high Brahmin family. And same we are seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibiting here. Ramanand Rai is a kayast, he's from a so-called Shudra family, but still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has no qualms about accepting him as his own Sajatiya and rejecting those Brahmins as Vijatiya. So the conversation of Ramanand Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then starts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that I have come here on the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He told me I should not neglect meeting you, that you are an exalted personality and you have the understanding you have of the highest rasa of Krishna Tattva. Nobody else has that understanding, and that is what I have come here for. And Ramananda Rai very humbly then glorifies Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He says that it is because of the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my Lord, that you have actually considered even touching me. You are none other than the Supreme Lord Narayan. But still you are not considering that I am a Shudra, I am a government officer who is steeped in material affairs. You are not rejecting me as a materialistic person, but you have considered me worthy of your embrace. So I am very humbled by this particular gesture of yours, my Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses his desire. He says, I want to hear Krishna Katha from your mouth. So this Krishna Katha, this conversation has been very nicely captured by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but he starts with the verse. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to hear from Ramanand Rai's mouth the glories of Krishna Katha and the glories of the highest conjugal rasa of Radha and Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like the ocean of spiritual truths. He is like the ocean of the nectar of devotional service. And this ocean filled the cloud called Ramananda Rai with the nectar of purest conclusions of devotion to himself. So the ocean of spiritual truths, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, filled the cloud of Ramananda Rai with the nectar of devotional conclusions about himself. And then this cloud, Ramananda Rai, rained down the same nectar back on this ocean from which it had drawn all the nectar. So that is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami starts the conversation between the two personalities. In fact, after this conversation gets over, Ramananda Rai actually says that, my Lord, whatever I spoke today, it was all, you are the conductor, you know, in music, in bands and in orchestras, there is the conductor. So he says that you are the music director or you are the conductor. And I was, or you were the veena player and I was just the strings. So whatever you were actually empowering me and you were actually speaking through my mouth, my tongue was just like that veena string which was vibrating and you were making me vibrate as you want. And same thing we see that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami brings out very nicely over here. So there is a long conversation between the two of them. In brief, we'll discuss that conversation. So it starts with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Ramanand Rai to explain with evidence from scriptures what is the goal of life. And Ramanand Rai gives a progressive path explanation for the goal of life. So he starts first with the foundation or the basic, and he says that it is Varnashrama Dharma. And after that, he says, he moves on, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept rejecting whatever Ramananda Rai was saying. He was saying, no, iha bahya. No, this is external, this is superficial. Go ahead, go further or go deeper. He was actually encouraging Ramananda Rai to go deeper and not be on the superficial level of this truth or conception of spiritual truth. So Ramananda Rai starts with Varnashram Dharma. Then he talks about Karmarpana. Karmarpana is offering fruits to Krishna. Again, rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he talks about renunciation of duties, which is karma tyaga, that one should give up their duties. Don't even offer fruits, but just give up duties. Again, rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he goes to the next progressive level, which is devotion mixed with knowledge. Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept saying, iha bahya, iha bahya. Go further, go further. And then ultimately when Ramananda Rai says that pure devotional service without any tinge of speculative knowledge is the means to achieve the supreme perfection, that is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feels satisfied. He says that yes, now you have actually touched upon what is the actual goal of life. To render pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, without any tinge of speculative knowledge at all. So from this point onwards, Ramananda Rai then starts going deeper on, you know, by being prodded by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he keeps going deeper, and then he describes the stages of this pure devotional service. So he describes the five rasas. He describes the rasa of neutrality, servitude, so dasya, sakya, friendship, parenthood, vatsalya, and then he describes conjugal love, which is madhurya bhava. And even in madhurya bhava, Ramananda Rai goes very deep in his understanding. And he says that the Radharani's love is considered as the topmost in the madhurya bhava. And the highest perfection of life is actually to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajagopis, who have this highest madhurya bhava, conjugal love, in devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely happy with this conversation of Ramananda Rai. And then he asks him further questions. He asks him, what is the best education? What is fame? Which is the best fame one can achieve? Which is the greatest misfortune? And all these answers Ramananda Rai gives from a devotional angle. He says the best education is the education which teaches one how to render loving devotional service to Radha and Krishna. The most famous is a devotee of Radha and Krishna. The greatest misfortune one can have is not to be able to render service and not to be in the association of devotees. So he is giving then all these answers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a devotional angle. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting highest ecstasy when Ramananda Rai was continuously conversing. And because he was being empowered, Ramananda Rai could see through his conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu imbibed the same truth which Ramananda Rai is talking about. And he came to know through this conversation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha and Krishna, whose love he is talking about in his conversation. And that time then he implores Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reveal his true form. So first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tries to reject that proposal or that request of Ramananda Rai, saying that I'm just a servant of the servant of servant. But when he was further implored by Ramananda Rai, then he reveals his true form. So we have seen many famous paintings of this particular pastime where Ramananda Rai is sitting and watching, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited that he is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So this highest truth was first revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Rai. He actually showed him, gave him vision or darshan of that particular form. And after giving him that darshan, he tells Ramananda Rai that whatever has happened today on the banks of Godavari, this conversation we had and this darshan are given, keep it completely confidential. Do not reveal it to anybody. And the second instruction which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to Ramananda Rai, he tells him that very soon I want you to wind up all your affairs of being a government officer, and I want you to come and reside with me in Jagannath Puri. Can you imagine Ramananda Rai's exalted position, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is requesting him, can you please come and reside with me? So Ramanand Rai promises him, he says, yes, I will come, my lord. I will come very soon. Let me wind up all my affairs over here and then I will come very soon. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes back, and we all know that Maharaj Prataparudra was very eager to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the devotees were continuously trying to arrange that meeting. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept refusing to meet Maharaj Prataparudra, saying that he has the title of king. He is a king, so I cannot meet him. I am a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. So when Prataparudra came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants Ramanand Rayan to come and reside in Jagannath Puri, he actually facilitates that whole coming of Ramanand Rai to Puri. He tells Ramanand Rai that you can wind up everything over there. You come to Jagannath Puri and stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You serve him wholeheartedly and you will keep receiving this government pension. So he did not even stop his salary, and he kept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kept Ramanand Rai still on the payrolls, and he kept giving him pension. And he allowed him to come to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ramanand Rai actually comes and glorifies Maharaj Prataparudra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says that, see, because he facilitated, I was able to come, my lord. And that softens Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stance a bit. And then Ramanand Rai personally requests, can you please meet him? He is really eager to meet you. So that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not refuse. He kept refusing other devotees, but he could not refuse Ramanand Rai. And he says, okay, a son is non-different from the father. So please send Maharaj Prataparudra's son and I am ready to meet him. And then he embraces Maharaj Prataparudra's son. And then ultimately, again, it was Ramanand Rai's strategy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually met Prataparudra in the gardens during Jagannath Rath Yatra. And that is how Prataparudra Maharaj got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So another very nice pastime is about Pradyumna Mishra, and with that pastime we'll stop. So Pradyumna Mishra was a great Brahmin and he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he actually goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he tells him that I want to understand the science of devotional service from you. Can you please elucidate me, my lord? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that I have nothing to say. You go and learn the science of devotional service from Ramanand Rai. Go to him because it is from him that I have also learned. So he wanted to bring out the glory of Ramanand Rai to the whole world, and therefore he sent Pradyumna Mishra to Ramanand Rai. So Ramanand Rai used to reside in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, which are next to the temple. And over there, he used to regularly train the Devadasis of the temple, of Jagannath temple, because he was very proficient in performing, writing dramas and getting those dramas performed in front of Lord Jagannath for the pleasure of Krishna. So he had written a nataka called Jagannath Nataka, and there were many other natakas he had written. So when Pradyumna Mishra came to see Ramanand Rai, Ramanand Rai was busy with these Devadasis. He was personally training them. He was personally decorating them. He was personally putting jewelry, ornaments, clothes, and he was teaching them all the mudras on how they should bring out all the bhavas and expressions in front of Lord Jagannath when they do this drama. And Pradyumna Mishra, when he saw all this, that Ramanand Rai is touching these, because Devadasis were young girls. So he saw that he's touching all these young girls, his mind got a little bewildered. But, you know, after waiting for some time, Ramanand Rai's servant told him that this Brahmin is waiting for you. You please go and meet him. So Ramanand Rai actually falls at his feet. And he says, I'm so sorry, I've kept you waiting, but I was just a little busy with all this. But please tell me how I can serve you. And because the doubts had already arisen in Pradyumna Mishra's mind, Pradyumna Mishra says, no, it's very late right now, I will come again later. And then he goes back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him, how was your meeting with Ramanand Rai? And that time Pradyumna Mishra reveals his heart. He says that, I have these doubts, my lord, in my heart, because I saw Ramanand Rai so intimately associating with young girls, not only associating but physically even touching them. So this has created some doubts in my mind. And that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, the famous verse he tells him, that I am a sannyasi and I might sometimes get perturbed when I think of a woman, but Ramanand Rai is like that stone who absolutely is undeterred, and he is absolutely undisturbed when he even touches these, what to speak of associating, even when he touches these girls, he is absolutely undisturbed. Because he is completely on the transcendental platform. Because Ramanand Rai was teaching these Devdasis the bhavs. He was teaching them, you know, the dramas used to be about ecstatic love of the Braj gopis for Krishna. So he used to consider these Devdasis non-different than gopis. And because he was in the mood of Vishakha Sakhi, his mood was how to decorate these gopis beautifully so that they look very nice and they perform very well for the pleasure of Krishna. That was his whole aspect, or that was his whole mood when he was doing this service. And therefore, even though he was physically touching, Prabhupada says that he might have even touched the private parts because he was dressing them. So obviously he might be touching them everywhere. But he was absolutely undisturbed. Because he was not in their bodily consciousness at all. And this fact Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praises with two mouths to Pradyumna Mishra and for the whole world to know the position of Ramanand Rai. And then Pradyumna Mishra gets convinced and then he goes and takes teachings from Ramanand Rai. So this was the exalted personality whose disappearance day we celebrated today. Extremely renounced. He was Arjuna, Arjuneya Gopi and Vishakha Sakhi. And he was one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who used to assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come out of his pangs of separation by always reciting apt verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So on this day we pray to Ramanand Rai to bestow his blessings, because on the appearance and disappearance day of these great personalities, they are very merciful. So we pray to him to bestow his blessings so that we can follow in his footsteps of, you know, Vairagya Vidya, what we saw, completely undisturbed and unattached to externals and absorbed in Krishna Leela and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll end the class here. Any questions, any corrections, comments? Yes, Madhuri.
The question is, if Durga Mata is the sister of Krishna, why does she afflict people in the material world with adhikarti, adhyatmik and adhidaivik miseries rather than uplift them in the service of Krishna?
So if Durga Mata is the sister of Lord Krishna, why does she afflict people with the tapatriya?
Yeah.
Why doesn't she uplift them in Krishna consciousness? Very nice question. So Durga Mata has been given this thankless role by Lord Krishna. She is actually doing this as a service to Lord Krishna. It's her role. It's the duty which has been given to her by Lord Krishna himself. So this material world is called as Durg or a fort. And Durga means the superintendent of this fort. So that is her role in this material world. So she is sister of Yoga Krishna, and that is in the spiritual realm. She is Yog Maya. She is in the spiritual realm. She is the sister of Lord Krishna. But in this material world, she is Durga, which is the superintendent of the fort. And her duty is to keep everyone inside this fort, just as a jailer keeps people inside the jail. So we have given, I think I have given this example in one of my earlier classes, that when you know you are visiting a doctor, and let's say that doctor has a dog whom he has kept outside for protection and not to allow, you know, unqualified people to come inside his clinic. So you are entering and the dog is barking, but you are a patient who has taken an appointment with the doctor. So then the doctor might see that, okay, this is a patient, qualified person who is coming in the clinic. So he will tell his dog, Tommy, don't bark, come and sit here. And Tommy will sit down and he will allow us to pass through. So that is how we compare this position. So Durga Mata's role is to keep people in this material world, which is unqualified people who are not interested in serving her Lord, Krishna. And that is why she inflicts these tapatriya. And this is for only people who are actually trying to enjoy this material world, and she keeps them in this material because it is their desire to stay in this material world. However, for people who are turning their face to Krishna, and who are having that desire to escape this material world, this Durg, and they want to actually go back to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, then Durga Mata actually takes the form of Yog Maya, and then she assists them to go back to Krishna. Then she facilitates them turning towards Krishna, and she facilitates them to progress on their path of devotional service. But till that time, her role is to keep people, because that is a service she is rendering to Lord Krishna. So that is a short explanation for that answer. Any other questions or comments? Sorry, Mataji? I have no idea. I will try to find out and let you know, Mataji. It is quoted in Radha Gopinath Prabhu's SSR lectures, but I'll find out and I'll let you know. Okay, we'll end the class here. Granthat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Ramanandaray ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandaya.